Welcome to Postcast tonight. David Locke along with Ron Boone. It's not an earthquake. It's just a shaky table. But the Jazz got hit by an earthquake tonight in the third quarter. That was a really bad sequitur. Welcome to the program. I'm David Locke along with Ron Boone. And the Jazz trailed this game 61-60. And at that point, Ron and I both said to each other, we feel like the Jazz should win this game. And then Dennis Schroeder started attacking the middle without Rudy Gobert in the game. The Jazz offense couldn't score. The corner three started falling for the Hawks. The Jazz never answered the Hawks' defensive system. And next thing you know, the Jazz were down by as many as 22, I think, at one point tonight in this ballgame. They actually trailed by as many as 26. They really got blown out. So 61-60 at the 3:05 mark, and then at that point got blown out after that. There are a lot of different things to talk about in this one.
I just thought I'd bring out the third quarter stats, since that's what you were so concerned with. 32-22, the Jazz got beat there in that third period. 5 for 11 from the three-point line. The Jazz only was able to get 8 of 16 shots, shot 50%. Now, why didn't they maintain, and why did they end up losing ground in that quarter when they shot 50%?
Because this is why field goal percentage. This is, like, I couldn't have set you up better. Steve Holman, voice of the Hawks right here, everybody. That is why field goal percentage is an outdated statistic we should never use ever again, because the Jazz shot 50%, the Hawks shot 48%, and the Jazz 50 was far less good than the Hawks.
So it doesn't matter that they got up 9 more shots and made 5 three-point shots in that quarter.
It does not. So the Jazz got outscored 32-22. Let's go through some of the aspects of
the third quarter or the whole game.
Well, let's go. Let's start with the defense. So the Hawks, Zach Guthrie joined us at halftime, kind of said what they were doing. We had seen it. But when you run a pick and roll, your big can do kind of one of three things. He can come out and trap the pick and roll. He can go even to the pick, or he can drop. They kind of almost went to a new level. They didn't just drop their big. The Jazz usually drop Gobert, and he kind of retreats with the ball handler. They just took their big from the minute the pick was set and went all the way back into the paint, and then had their defender trail so that you couldn't get a three because the defender's right on your shoulder. And then you're coming into the mid-range with absolutely nothing available and at the rim. And the Jazz never figured out how to stop this.
It's like they zoned the backside. For the most part, if you think about that, if they had the big outside the floor, just got back into the paint, they just protected the paint, kept the bigs from rolling, they trail up on the backside, kept you from pulling up and shooting a three behind the screen, because you're on their back, and the Jazz still were not able to get any three-point shot attempts up. Defensively, that was one heck of a defensive scheme, I think, and the Jazz just couldn't figure it out. But what I didn't like is the fact that the Jazz didn't have very many clean looks, period, tonight. And that's not – and the Jazz just won't win basketball games like that. They need clean looks. Donovan Mitchell might be one of the guys that can make his own shot and shoot with a hand in his face, but not too many guys on this team can do that.
Donovan was not great tonight. The Jazz started terribly. They did not have a field goal until the 6:43 mark of the first quarter. Ricky Rubio took about 5 of the first 6 shots. The Jazz missed them all. And that's just not the way to start the game. That's not going to be the answer for them. And to Ron's point about no clean looks, the Jazz only took 15 three attempts. Their lowest of the season was 21 before that. The lower of that was 23. Those numbers aren't close. And 15 threes in this day and age is almost zero.
That's like you should be getting more free throws than that. You know, the Jazz need those threes in order to win basketball games. Didn't like the way the Jazz started the basketball game, but obviously Quinn Snyder didn't like it as well, with Rubio really being all about him. And not that it was his fault. I mean, those are just shots where he was open. He was moving without the basketball. The clock was running down sometimes, but he just wasn't making any shots. Quinn Snyder takes him out of the ball game, I think has a little conversation with him, but immediately puts him back in the ball game. And
pretty hard to win when your starting point guard goes 1 for 8.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to win, yeah, when he's doing that. And no one else is touching the ball. Derek Favors had not touched the ball up until that point. I think Donovan Mitchell only had one shot up to that point.
We went to the first time out without scoring.
Yeah, yes. And they were still trying to force the basketball into Rudy, and it just wasn't happening.
You made the comment early in the game that what you've noticed recently since Rudy's gotten back that the first quarters are almost exclusively Ricky Rubio and Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
How do they get away from that?
Well, that it's they have to consciously get away from it. Maybe Quinn start calling some plays, you know, away from Rudy early in the ball game. You know, just because just think about that. When you're going through your scouting report, you're gearing your scouting report to stop just what we saw tonight. You know, because the Jazz have been so effective with that in the last three ball games, at Derek Favors and Rudy just getting dunks and getting points in the paint. So obviously that was the point of emphasis to stop tonight. So go away from that. I watched the Jazz work out this morning, as you did, and what they worked on, I thought, was some transition offense with Rudy coming to the top of the key and Derek Favors making the pass. But wherever the pass went or wherever direction that Derek Favors would go, then that's the kind of – they would run a different play. And I didn't see them run that one time tonight. Maybe that's something they're planning on using another time. He wanted to throw it in there just to get the guys used to it.
You know, the interesting one is that a lot of the – remember, they also did the drill where they were trying to engage the big, and the big just wasn't going to be – where they're driving the big trying to – and the Atlanta's big was not going to engage. They were just going to stay right at the rim. And it's really well done. The, Atlanta does two things well offensively. And this, to me, is actually what, from a Jazz standpoint, is disturbing, that you can't take them away. So – one is they're the number one corner three shooting team in the league at 44%, and they went 9 of 14 on corner threes tonight because they missed their last two. The other thing is they're the 23rd ranked team in the league after an opponent's make. They're the 23rd ranked team in the league offensively after an opponent's miss, but they're the 7th best team in the league off turnovers. Tonight they got 22 points off the Jazz, 17 turnovers. That's really just letting Atlanta dictate the few things they do well, they did well all night.
Yeah, did nothing to counter that, you know, and you know, how do I counter that? You know, all I can add to that, David, is that, and ask you the question, what do you think of Atlanta's perimeter defense and what they were able to do with the Jazz guards tonight?
Without Rodney Hood out there, I would say that Torian Prince and Kent Bazemore changing off on Donovan Mitchell is a pretty good combination of defenders. Those are both elite athletes, long, and Donovan Mitchell was never comfortable tonight.
He definitely was not, and again, we've discussed this all season long on what the perimeter, very strong perimeter defense does to our guards. Makes them work a little harder, I think, and I think that's an area that we have to get better at with our guards on the offensive end of the floor.
Somebody just asked, with the performance, does this change the way the Jazz approach the trade deadline? I don't think so at all. It's a bigger picture approach to the trade deadline. I think it's very clear what the objectives are going into this trade deadline. I also think it's very clear that the trade deadline is just screwing with the entire league. Like, the league is a mess. Washington's got these player-only meetings that aren't working. Milwaukee's firing their coach. Charlotte's got Kemba on the – I mean, San Antonio's got the Kawhi issue now. Like, this league is just crazy right now. It's a very tough time of the year to get through to where the good teams separate from the other teams we're getting separated from right now. You suddenly lose your playoff hope. You're watching the trade deadline. You got free agencies pending. There's just a lot of stuff going on. This is kind of the always happens this time of year, and it's a little nutty.
It's really nutty. Everyone's looking at other teams and other players, broadcasters, or
we can't get traded, can we?
We can't get traded, but we're
a few. I don't want to get traded. Don't trade me, please. I don't want to get traded. That wraps us up. We're crying at the end of this one. Jazz lose to the Hawks. We'll be in Detroit on Wednesday. Have a good night. Be safe.